present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz, a sporting roundup of the week's news. We open tonight's match with this culinary cutting read by Brian Perkin.
In our report of Royal Ascot yesterday, we mistakenly stated that Mrs. Gertrude Schilling had attended. In fact, the woman wearing a giant cheeseburger oozing with mock cheese on her head was Mrs. Schilling's sister. We apologize for any embarrassment.
Well, mercifully, that caught the eye of Hilary Bentley from London. It's time now to meet tonight's teams. On my right, those old Private Eye doubles partners, Richard Ingrams and John Wells. Today, bearing in mind the repeat on my left, we welcome a mixed partnership of TV presenter Kirsty Walk and her captain, the Monica Selish of Radio 4, Alan Corran. Well, let's start round one with a cutting from Mr. E. Miller of Dundee.
Rush hour traffic on Kingsway West Dundee was brought to a standstill yesterday evening after a man apparently stepped into the path of an oncoming car, causing a five-car smash. The first car braked sharply to avoid the man, but as it was caught in the contraflow system, it was unable to steer clear of him. Striking the pedestrian, the car stopped before a second car slammed into its rear. A third car managed to stop before hitting the two stationary vehicles, but a fourth car shunted them into the jumble before being smashed forward by yet another vehicle. The pedestrian, who suffered only minor cuts and bruises, was taken to Dundee Royal Infirmary, where, on admittance, he fell from a hospital trolley, breaking his leg.
Well done, noble Perkins. I don't think the poor chap had a sporting chance there. Which leads us nicely on to our first question. Richard, who'd give his right arm to be back in the saddle?
I think this is a reference to my friend. He's not really my friend. But I always get the questions about him, don't I?
You say you can do your impersonation of him.
Prince Charles.
That's right. Do your impersonation of him.
He fell off. I fell off the horse. And it really was appalling. Anyway, you know, the royal family believe in these homeopathic remedies. So some kind person sent him a lot of seaweed pills. And they're hoping that this will cure him.
Yes.
It's true.
Quite true.
In the Telegraph.
It all concerns the polo-prone Prince Charles, who queued up in the casualty department of the Cirencester Hospital to have his broken arm seen to after falling from his horse. He said he preferred to be treated by the NHS because going private would have cost him an arm and a leg. Princess Diana visited him during his stay, taking a bunch of flowers so that he'd have something to talk to. Meanwhile, sympathy and advice poured in from previous sufferers of broken bones with this observation from Gloria Honeyford.
The prince will find the most simple task quite difficult at first. Just putting on a pair of tights was a tremendous step.
And that was spotted by John Murray of Hayes. John Wells, who's blessing a union to take the rail link overseas?
This is one of Mr. Smarmy Cecil's schemes to do something with the Channel Tunnel on a privatised nature and having... No, Viv is shaking her head. This is a typical low trick to put the other team ahead.
Well, do they know?
It's lower than you think, actually, Jim.
Jimmy Knapp and his National Union of Real Women.
Oh, you're is going that, to... Oh, you're going to... Right? You're on your... You're the other one.
Can you possibly dig us out of this hole, Alan?
It's a liaison between English and French unions over the tunnel.
Well, it is a union, but it's a union...
Because we have one every week. Week before, there was a radio growing in the Champs-Élysées, and then there was corn. I think this one is probably about the different rail gauge.
This one stops in the middle of the channel, actually. It's about the National Union of Seamen. They have the dwindling roll-on, roll-off membership list, who are to merge with the Railwaymen's Union and form the National Union of Rail, Maritime and Transport Workers.
I'm sure that wasn't in the Independent.
I doubt it. They're also not only merging as a union, but they're merging their excuses, such as, sorry this ship's late, Governor, but there's been leaves on the sea outside Dover. And we welcome aboard Kirsty Walk, of whom we ask, Who's been making a racket in Southwest 15?
Any number, including Steffi Graf, who I'm afraid came to grief today.
Or indeed the other day.
Indeed. Whatever day this programme is transmitted, she came to grief. So let's just say that the rain's been making a racket in Southwest 15.
Well,
yes.
Corin
yes.
has it, of course.
Well, I'm used to women grunting, but not normally at tennis. these teenagers can only get the ball over the net by a great exhalation and a thunder and a noise. And the Sun, in an exclusive, did a test and found that Monica Seles grunted more than anybody. Which is very exciting for a lot of old men who hang around Wimbledon.
That's where you spend your time.
That's where I spend my time.
And this all refers to the increasingly noisy grunting of the increasingly young female tennis players at Wimbledon, some of whom must have been seeded some months before they were born.
Presumably.
No one has actually complained about it except John McEnroe, who thought that someone was paying him a compliment. And the line judge... Thank you. And the line judge who moaned that it kept him awake. And since it's done wonders for ladies' tennis, Alan, here's a question for you. Preceded by a slightly more tuneful groaning. I'm sorry to say I have no idea what that is or who it was by.
I think it was a Queen's horse Burmese which died this week. this is the horse question, is it?
Oh, extremely young tennis player. Alan, who's in line with some really useful maintenance?
Really useful? Is this Andrew
really?
Is it? Andrew Lloyd's bank?
Yeah.
No, this is a tiny money spin and a new leg across shock. I understand...
Four legs across.
Here we
shock.
Go, mate.
I didn't see this story, but I was told by a lawyer I met in the road that he is alleged to be changing partners. He's gone off with the Queen's horse or something. Sarah Brightman, who was the second Sarah he married, has given way, as it were, to someone called Gertie. Madeline Gurdon. Is that it?
Yes, it's exactly it.
Horsey sort of person.
Ish was still alive.
Andrew Lloyd Webber was making a musical of Equus.
Well, perhaps he's going to write a new musical called Horse.
She just did that joke.
I can't understand the accent. That's the problem.
You haven't got the Latin governor, have you?
This is the heartbreaking saga of Sarah Brightman and Andrew Lloyd Webber, the phantom of the Marriage Guidance Council. Apparently the couple had their irreconcilable differences and will quietly get divorced. Meanwhile, sympathetic treatment was given to the story by a tabloid newspaper.
A headline in yesterday's Daily Mirror inadvertently referred to Sarah Brightman, wife of Andrew Lloyd Webber, as ex-wife. Ms. Brightman is still married to Mr. Lloyd Webber, and we apologise to her for the error.
And that brings us to the scoreline after the first round, which is... Britain Ingalls of John Wells 3, but Alan Corrigan and Kirsty Wall 4. And before we leap into round 2, over to Brian.
A security firm boss has been jailed for his part in a £15,000 dole swindle, along with 8 of his employees. The 9 men were caught in a Department of Environment swoop on security firms called Operation Bouncer. When interviewed by investigators, the employees said that it was their boss who had suggested they use false names. The prosecutor said they were all frank during the interview.
That was sent in by Glenn Jackson of Blackpool. Richard Ingram, you start round 2 for us with this. Whose new marks are harder to part with than the old ones?
Did you see John's programme on the telly about Germany?
I didn't. My wife.
Very good.
It was
awfully
excellent. Anyway, I think he should answer this. He speaks German, and he knows the situation very intimately. John, could you tell us about what's happening over there?
Well, apparently what it is it's to do with them rolling this enormous mark through Checkpoint Charlie in symbolic invasion of East Germany. And the West Germans have invaded East Germany, and the score so far is West Germany 23, East Germany 0.
No, that isn't right.
Isn't it?
No.
But they have anyway, they've swapped marks.
Yeah. Yes,
you show me, you show me your marks, and I'll show you my marks. And they're exchanging them at a rate of 1 to 1, except if you have a very large bank account, then you get less. I don't know how that works out, but it's kind of building society in reverse.
It's all about East Germany. They've switched to the West German currency. Seems to have led to an outbreak of panic saving, as East Germans, who fought tooth and nail to get hold of Deutschmarks, now just stare blankly at shop windows crammed with bewildering Western goods like food, and books, and the wheel. And John Wells, your proper question now, where have they put in a word to give Oxford Street cred?
The answer.
Oxford Street cred.
Oh, I see. In the new Oxford Dictionary,
yes,
apparently the word street cred is translated as Straßenweisheit. Which comes as a great surprise to the compilers. I think you better ask Corin for a quarter mark to tell us the truth, because he reads the newspaper.
No, that was it. That was the top and bottom of it. It has some...
He's got street cred.
The shorter Oxford Dictionary, abbreviated to sod. It's an even sillier sod than usual, in that it requires itself to put in things like dosh and street credibility and all that. But John said that. He's absolutely right. Yes, he has divined it.
I think you deserve one for being so generous.
No, don't let them leap too far ahead, otherwise it doesn't get...
No, don't worry about these things. It's all about the latest edition of the Oxford Concise English Dictionary, which claims 20,000 new entries, including smack, kissogram, though not necessarily in that order, accede, and the Wimbledon favourite. Out, though, go many words deemed to be totally redundant, like Marxism, the European, and Labour and Labour government. Interesting. Interestingly, if you look up Charlie, it says, see under horse. Cutting now from Hillingdon Conservation News, spotted by Joanna Evans.
When asked by a member of the public how old a certain tree, broken by the recent high winds, was, a council spokesman said, I don't know, I'm completely stumped.
Well, back to you, Kirsty, with a clue for the Wrinklies. Kirsty, your question is, who got no satisfaction finding Wembley full of soccer fans?
Mr. Jagger got no satisfaction finding Wembley full of soccer fans.
It's a Rolling Stone answer. I think Alan might be able to help you a bit.
Poor old Jagger had his wrinkly comeback during the World Cup semi-final. And every time anything happened, there was a great roar through the crowd and interrupted Jagger's songs, I gather.
Grunts through the crowd.
Jagger's excuse, grunts.
That's right. It's the Rolling Stones, whose combined ages now regularly exceeds its audiences. Their concert at Wembley this week was sporadically interrupted by cheers from the audience, who were listening to the England-West Germany match on portable radios. However, the ageing Mick didn't make a fuss, as his hearing isn't as good as it used to be. Alan, your question. Why is the First Lady of Retail free to continue shopping?
And this is the great shoe buyer. This is Imelda Marcos, who got a 61st birthday present from the American courts. And she was... there's nothing one can make of this, really. She was seen to have got off. She didn't screw the Philippine economy at all. It was her husband that did it, and she just went along with him. It was a very... one of those post-sexist judgments that you don't expect to be made in New York, really. They said, blame the husband, this poor little woman is innocent, and there he was, sitting there, stuffed in a chair. He's been dead for 30 years. He's older than Charlie Watts. And his thing sat in a chair while she went through the Treasury. But nevertheless, and she's probably got better lawyers even than Andrew Lloyd Webber, she got off on a jolly good judgment, too. The woman is innocent. And so did that pawning little rat, Khashoggi. He got off as well. But for some reason, they had this very good lawyer in a Stetson hat that I saw on television getting them all off.
I think that's all libelous, what you just said.
Almost so.
I apologise at once.
Yes, sir, we represent Mr. Khashoggi.
In this matter.
And unless a very considerable sum is paid in escrow.
It's Imelda Marcos, of course, widow of the former Filipino philanthropist Neiman Marcos, who was cleared of looting £120 million from the Philippines Treasury. And the scores at the halfway stage are Richard and John 7, but Alan and Kirsty 9. Round 3 opens with this from Rona Bagnall of Gloucestershire.
A warning to motorists to watch out for deer straying on roads in the Blockley area, especially at night, was given at last Thursday's meeting of Blockley Parish Council. Mr. Ron Coles told Parish Council members that he'd received several reports of near accidents and of one accident in which a deer had jumped out of a hedgeside verge into the side of a car and asked if warning signs could be put up in the area.
Well, if you don't ask... Richard, let me ask you this. Can you tell us about the bun fight at the OK Yah Corral? Bun fight. It doesn't sound like your sort of question.
No, it's nothing to do with Arthur Scoggins or anything political, is it?
Funny that, because it says on my script, Richard answers. A piece of optimism that I find hard to beat. Anyway. About a party given by some yuppies or something.
Oh, no, I don't follow that sort of event. We're more interested here in serious politics, aren't we, John?
And acerbic barbs.
Acerbic barbs.
Satirical.
Not partisan.
Well, I think it was the Burlington House. There was some ghastly ball at some kind of, I think at the National Gallery or something like that. A lot of hoorays throwing buns through well-known paintings. And including, I believe, a very sensitive oil painting of Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Shaking hands with Andrew Khashoggi.
Shaking hands with his lawyer. Their hands in each other's wallets.
That's another good one.
That's very good.
Terrific.
That's the answer.
It's something to do with that. There was a lot of yahoos springing about, and they do at this time of year because it's the season, you know.
There we go.
And all that's the ladies are, you know, like that.
Any royalty then?
What, on heat?
Well, I'll give you the points because I don't have any more information than what I have in front of me. It says, this concerns the joint birthday party held in a designer studio by Society Swells Damien Aspinall and Robin Birdie, who hurled 3,500 custard pies at their guests. Well, at least they made sure everyone left with a piece of the cake, even if most of them were wearing it. And John, here's some music for you. You had this far, it broke my heart, but I told you. The question is, why are 11 good men and true not being sent down?
I expect this is a football clue, isn't it?
It is.
It is a football clue. I thought it was the Queen Mother Sings. No, it's they're not being sent down in the sense that, you know, they're not being sent up either. I suppose they would have gone further south in Italy for some other...
No, it's not an Italian question.
It's not Italian.
He's absolutely right about down and up. This down is about. Up, yeah. You know this. It's about Swindon.
It's to do with these tremendously butch figures down at Swindon, which Alan very kindly reminded me, who behave naughtily by paying each other. I gather you don't get paid if you're a footer person. And they'd been putting little twinkie amounts of money in each other's booties. And the football authorities got really hopping mad and said they'd got to stop playing with the first division people and go and play with the third division people, and they were very cross. But now, then, isn't it thrilling? They've been allowed back into the second div.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. You've restored my faith in broadcasting. Kirsty, which dog had his day having his collar felt?
This is to do with these appalling dogs, which should all be put down at birth.
German
dogs, Rottweilers. And this police officer went to the aid of somebody who was in danger of being killed by one of these dogs and twisted something around its neck. Luckily, it died. And he is being censured by the dog's owner, who says this was disgraceful. How could he ever treat my dog like this? This was a family pet and a friend of all. He then said, of course, he went on to say, well, if the police officer hadn't done it, I'd have done it more humanely anyway.
Yes, absolutely right. You got 4 marks for that. It is the gruesome story of PC David Underdown in a Kent garden investigating the killing of 2 rabbits by a Rottweiler who was himself suddenly attacked by the beast. All he could do to save himself was to tighten the dog's collar with his truncheon. So if there are any rabbits listening, a little self-defense tip there. Only don't grunt while you're doing it. Alan, who might brainwash you into your annual fortnight's holes?
Oh, yes, this is Rottweiler share, isn't it? It's the Office of Fair Trading. We which is sharing an office with the Department of Trade and Industry, and it's got very upset at all these stupid buggers who really believe when they get a leaflet through the post saying, if you turn up at such and such at 11 o'clock, you'll get a free Ford Fiesta and a gold choker and a chance to go on the treasure trail and three television sets and the Rottweiler of your choice. And it has nothing to do with timeshare. Don't believe anything it says in the small print. And anyway, a move is being made to spend money to protect these fools from themselves. But I think they deserve everything they get. They end up on the Costa Brava in some pig pen. It serves them right for being greedy idiots. Yeah, I don't support the Office of Fair Trading.
Any questions tonight comes to you from Church Hall near the Wallet.
And the scores at the end of round three are, well, Richard and John are creeping closer with 12, but Alan and Kirsty are still in the lead with 13. Before the final match, here's a cutting from Margaret Street of Alton from the Southern Evening Echo.
Armed with a 2-foot-long wooden post, David Ellery is set out to take revenge on a man who had attacked him outside a Basingstoke pub. But it was only when the victim's wooden leg fell off that Ellery, 23, realised he had the wrong man. He said he didn't realise that Mr. Durling had an artificial leg. His victim tried to run away, but fell over. In his defence, Ellery told police, I walked up to him, hit him, and his leg fell off. Okay, I hit him, but obviously it was the wrong person.
Richard, lend an ear to this non-grunting teenager. Richard, why won't her biggest fan play ball with his school? That, incidentally, was Kylie Minogue. Anybody know?
No.
Anybody want to know?
The, okay, the major events of the week have been picked up by the BBC this week, as well.
It's all because 15-year-old Miles Wickham, this is the answer, all because 15-year-old Miles Wickham voted the biggest fan of Miss Minogue this side of Broadmoor, didn't want to play rugby, so his school in Purley threw him out. Unfortunately, they threw him forward, so they'll settle with a scrum outside the school gates. John, why did the Fox family play cat and mouse with breakfast?
There was something in the Telegraph about these scientists who produced these very, very tiny little mice.
Yeah, different question.
This is interesting, more interesting than some of the things you've heard about.
Your science correspondent.
They were trying to breed bigger mice than the ordinary mice. I don't know why.
And
instead of which, they got these tiny, tiny little...
moving.
Mini, mini...
And they're going to use them, they said, but they're going to use it as a spin-off to breed tiny farm animals. Which is
very helpful.
Sort of midget cow infection. Disease. Yeah. Wonderful. Little things you can spot when they begin to infect you. This one is actually about a Kellogg's packet. Kellogg's packet with a mouse in it, or an alleged Kellogg's packet, because they haven't, I mean, Kellogg's said, we're now serving crispy mice. No doubt an inquiry is pending, but this woman, Mrs. Fox, opened her Kellogg's packet. Something was walking about in it, and it wasn't a plastic aeroplane. It was a live, normal-sized mouse.
Really?
And she put a sellotape thing over it, if sellotape, don't get offended by this either, and she sent it to the Office of Fair Trading, so that people can share it.
Time now for an anecdote from the Covent Garden Independent News.
Lady Porter was spotted by two dishevelled men as she left an exclusive restaurant in Islington. One approached her as though to ask her for the price of a cup of tea. But with palm outstretched, he handed her 15p with the words, "There you are, dear, buy yourself a cemetery."
Well, that's inflation for you. A couple of years ago, 15p would have bought you three. Kirsty, where might the disco require a degree of learning?
This must be the new college set up to give some kind of legitimacy to rock and roll. That you're actually going to get a degree and be able to take a course in disco music at this college. Lots of Kylie Minoguettes and Jason Donovanettes running around. I think that's just
absolutely
about it.
Right. This relates to the new faculty of pop music at Salford College of Technology, where they just announced a degree course leading to a Bachelor of Pop, or BOP. Salford was particularly keen to establish a chair in pop music, as they thought Mick Jagger might need it on his tour. And finally, Alan Corran, can you tell us about a colourful court case and a plain blue home movie?
I know that people aren't taking blue movies out as much as they used to. They're taking fun movies out, it said in various newspapers. It's a court case with a blue movie.
Yeah. American court case.
Absolutely no idea.
No idea.
Imelda Marcos, is it?
No, no.
She and Khashoggi, caught in a blue movie, doing this shoe fetishist stuff. But her lawyer says she had nothing to do with it.
No, I'll tell you, it's all about a very naughty home video made by Texan Dan Boyle before he and his girlfriend split up. She later discovered he'd shown the tape to some of his chums and sued him and received $1 million settlement. After the Houston court heard that another special screening had been arranged by the lawyers, complete with popcorn and hot dogs, they made a further award of £400,000. Any more judgments like that, that'll be their fee gone. And before I give you the final score, let's see if the teams have got anything to save the day. Richard, do you have a winning cutting for us?
Well, I thought this was quite funny. It was from the Irish Times, telling you what's on the telly tonight. 8:30, Spotlight, Current Affairs. Shane Harrison examines the claim that the Republic is a safe haven for terrorists. Wales has Russ Abbott.
Very good. John, what have you got for
me? It appears that Lady Porter emerged from her apartment one morning recently to discover a cab driver urinating on the rear wheel of his vehicle. Shocked and disgusted, Lady Porter took the offending cab driver's number and, according to reliable sources, complained to the public carriage office. It is expected that she will have to attend an identity parade.
Kirsty, what have you brought for us?
This is a snippet from The Guardian, and the latest edition of Quayside House magazine of the Professional Publications Division of the Thompson Organization has a useful item on first aid. What if the heart stops, it asks. See next issue.
Very good. Alan, what have you brought?
Well, I've eschewed the marginal press this week, Barry, because there was something in the Telegraph on Wednesday which caught my eye. It said, small item, Rouse Akira near Galway, County Mayo, plays host this weekend for the first gathering of the Burke clan in almost 400 years. More than 5,000 Burkes are expected.
I'll drink to that. And that brings us to the end of the contest, more or less, and time for me to give you the scores. Well, I'm afraid that Richard and John haven't advanced their cause at all, because they're still 12, but Alan and Kirsty have leapt ahead and are this week's winners with 16. Well done, Kirsty and Alan. And now a post-match anecdote from Brian.
Midland publicans are asking for gallons of free ale for customers after drinkers walked out of public houses claiming the beer was undrinkable. Mr. Dick Fry, licensee of the Hare and Hounds in Hales Own and vice chairman of the Greenalls Midlands Tenants Association, said up to 200 public houses in the region could have been affected by the bad beer. It was cloudy, it smelt, and it didn't taste very nice, but otherwise it was perfect, he said.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, John Wells, Kirsty Walk and Alan Corran. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by John Langdon and the producer, Diane Messias.